This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I got an inspiration to play that. That's Telstar by the Tornadoes. And for those of you old enough to remember, it came out in 1962 when we were all worried about going to war with Russia. Remember the missiles of October and all that kind of thing? And Good Morning Clearwater was talking about all this space junk. Well, Telstar was one of those satellites that they were talking about at the time. Anyway, a little history lesson. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I'm getting old and crotchety. I remember 1962. Ed does not remember it. Of course, he was...
He was in the womb.
He was lying face down in some bar somewhere.
I was laying in the womb. I had no worries.
The whole year went by him, and he didn't remember any of it, laying in the womb. You were laying on a barroom floor, I'm sure. Anyway... Where was I? You got me all mixed up. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Rachel Gressler of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about how Congress has exacerbated the union pension crisis. For those of you that do not know what that word exacerbated stands for, made it worse. Made it much worse. We're going to talk with Rachel about all of that. And President Biden and the Democrats are eyeballing the first major tax increase, I mean big time, since 1993. Can you believe it's been that long? We're going to talk about that and more with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that. And we dust off Wilbur the Duck, another edition of Campus Quackery. This time we travel to Columbia University, where I think Ed tried to graduate. Columbia University. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. Did you watch the Grammy Awards the other night? Not many people did, apparently, from what I saw with the ratings. I imagine Ed did, because he's a big-time disc jockey. Ed, you watch the Grammys.
No, absolutely not. I quit watching those programs because they got political all the time.
Yeah.
They got turned off.
You know, they also had some very risque lyrics in that. You heard about that.
Oh, risque, and then the dancers.
Stupid!
But that's okay for children to see.
Yeah, exactly.
But they can't open up a Dr. Seuss book.
Perfect. Yeah. You nailed it. That is so true. Anyway, the top 10 all-time Grammy Award winners. Let's see if Ed knows who is number one. By the way, by a long shot. By a long shot, Ed. Don't peek. Don't peek between now and the end of the... See, Ed has a computer.
I'm not going to peek. I'm just going to say on Monday when our top of the hour news, they listed who.
Oh, no. So you already know
who. Now we can
is.
Test my memory and see if I remember.
Oh, that's true. Okay, good point. Good point. All right. So we got a lot to do. A lot to do. And why is it that Joe Biden is even thinking about a tax increase right now? Aren't we all, including businesses, especially middle-income businesses and small businesses, aren't we all trying to get back off the floor, dust ourselves off, and move forward? So now he's talking about a tax increase.
How's that going to work? Here's your stimulus check. Now go pay for your taxes.
Yeah, because if you're going to raise taxes on businesses and wealthy people, who do you think? Do you think they're not going to pass those costs on? They certainly are. So President Biden planning the first major tax hike since 93 to help pay for the long-term economic program designed as a follow-up to his pandemic relief bill. The thing is, if you most economics people will tell you that the less you tax people, the more income you get into your federal coffers. And the reason is, if you leave more money in the hands of the people themselves, they will go out and spend it on things that they want. And the more that they spend with businesses and products and all of these other things, the more money that companies have to pay the taxes that you already are levying upon them. If you start overtaxing people, what happens? It's just like in the state of New York or New Jersey. They pick up and they leave. They won't hang around. They'll figure out a way to get around it. Or they'll raise the rates on the people's on their patrons. And or they'll cut people out from working for them. They're not going to lose money making their product. That's just not the way things work. So the next initiative, unlike the $1.9 trillion stimulus package, is this one's expected to be even bigger. It will not rely just on government debt. And yet that's really where we're going. I mean, all of this expense is just going into printing more money. And to print more money, you've got to have people and countries that are willing to purchase your debt. One day they're going to stop purchasing our debt. And then we'll just be printing money, and then inflation occurs, and then we can become like all these. Remember all those South American countries where it would cost you 100 million pesos to buy a loaf of bread or something like that?
You know, I was going to ask you, because you're the czar of economics here.
Oh, God spare us. God spare us.
All this money we're printing with nothing to back it up. What's to prevent another country from doing the same thing?
Right. Well, they have tried that. The thing is that so far, the credibility of the dollar is... Oh. It's the strongest currency in the world.
So we're running on credit.
Creditworthiness. Mm-hmm. Yes. It Good really is. That's it. That's smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. It's creditworthiness. And one day, if a large purchaser of our debt stops purchasing our debt, then a domino effect occurs. Others see that they're no longer, and they lose the faith and confidence in our dollar. Then we're really in trouble.
Good thing now we're not running on our politician's word.
Oh, my God, spare us. So now we're going to try a major tax hike. We're also going to spend $1 or $2 trillion for infrastructure. In fact, Senator Ben Cardin, he's a Democrat, he was caught on mic, a hot mic, telling the transportation secretary that the budget reconciliation process most likely would be needed to get the infrastructure package through. In other words, we'll jam stuff into a reconciliation bill so that you don't even know what's in there. He said, ultimately, this is on a hot mic, ultimately it's going to be put together similar to how the American Rescue Plan was put together. Most likely we're going to have to use reconciliation. Now, what is reconciliation? It's a parliamentary procedure. This is a way of getting past the filibuster. If you have a reconciliation package, it is hands-off as far as the filibuster is concerned. That's why all of the Republicans voted against it, and they still passed it. If you had a Senate filibuster, you could only break a filibuster with 60 votes, stop a filibuster, and then allow the bill to be coming up for a consideration. It's just a little game playing that they do in the Senate. Anyway, all kinds of craziness going on with our money, or lack thereof. But I'm telling you, it's the same old story. When the government tries to, and then they say, the wealthy people deserve to pay more. Well, if you look at what percentage of all the tax dollars that come into Washington are paid by wealthy people, it's like the top 15%, and don't quote me, but like the top 15% pay 85% of all the taxes. I mean, they're paying a lot now. Anyway, that's enough on that for a while. We're going to take our little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the union pension crisis and how Congress is making it worse with Rachel Gresler.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back and delighted to have back Rachel Kresler. She is a research fellow in economics, budgets, and entitlements at the Great Heritage Foundation, and she has penned a piece in the Washington Times, How Congress Exacerbated the Union Pension Crisis Under the Guise of Coronavirus Relief. Well, Rachel, all of these states, like my home state of Illinois, and I think California and other states, who have been acceding to the demands of the unions year after year after year, and setting up higher and higher pension payouts, all those politicians virtually have retired. And now the chickens come home to roost, right, for some of these states with these pension problems. And now we're going to just wipe it all away with Congress? Is that how this works?
Well, that's what started in this new so-called COVID relief package, is that they're just giving away a pension bailout to these private union plans under the guise of COVID, even though the data that we have is showing that even 3 years ago, before the pandemic began, these private union plans had accumulated over $673 billion in unfunded pension promises, consistently decade after decade, making promises and simply failing to set aside the funds to make good on those promises. And as you noted, this is the same thing that states, Illinois being the foremost culprit among them, are doing for their public sector workers. Is you make these lavish pension promises, but then you don't actually put the money aside to pay them in the future. And who's left on the hook? For public sector workers, it's those state taxpayers. But now Congress has set the stage for taxpayers, federal taxpayers, to be on the hook for these private union pension promises.
Indeed, and you say that they might be on the hook for more than $45,000 per household for underfunded pension liabilities. That should, you would think that would hit home. I guess our eyes are glazing over these days because of all of the debt we're getting into. So maybe we don't even worry about it anymore. You know, it's one more thing that we're going to add to our massive, $28 trillion federal debt. But this is like, go ahead and, you know, do all of the things wrong and take advantage, and then we'll bail you out later. So, you know, you really don't pay the penalty. I mean, Illinois is going to get off the hook. I mean, come on now.
I mean, we've just opened the floodgates here. And, you know, in this package, they provide $86 billion in unconditional cash giveaways to a select group of those pension plans. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg, because as I noted, there's probably over $700 billion now out there in the private ones. And then when you look at the public sector union plans, we have $4 to $5 trillion. And so now we're talking about asking taxpayers, every household in America, to be giving $45,000 towards the unfunded pension promises, even as they're trying to save for their own retirement, knowing that Social Security can't even make good on its promises to them. So it's really, you know, a sad reality that's out there, and that we just keep tacking more and more debt on. COVID alone has already added $47,000 in spending for every American household. And I think most people don't feel like they've received $47,000. And it just shows the amount of waste and the spending that's going towards things that are totally unrelated to the health pandemic.
You know, whenever you say to people, do you want free money? It's not free, of course. But like these $1,400 check, well, everybody will say, yes, I want the check.
Mm-hmm.
And they will disregard. It's like, yes, I'll have my cake before dinner. You know, yeah, go ahead. I'll pay for it later. Give me the cake now. And you make a point here with these pensions. This is kind of scary to me. 96% of pensioners, workers and retirees with pensions, are in plans that are less than 60% funded. So is there a real possibility that one day they won't get their pension check? Or are we going to borrow
exactly
that?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I mean, we've opened the door to bailouts now, but what would happen under current law is that those pensions, once they fail, and they inevitably will fail because 96% of people are in plans that are headed towards failure.
Yeah.
Once they fail, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, it's a government entity, but it's not financed by taxpayers. That's supposed to kind of be the backup plan and to give them some level of insurance. Well, that's going to be bankrupt within a number of years here. And then really, those workers and future retirees are going to be receiving mere pennies on the dollar. And so this opening the door to these massive bailouts, you know, I had a question the other day. Well, isn't it, you know, we haven't hit a crisis yet. Can't we just keep adding to the debt? And it's not really that big of a cost. But it is an enormous cost. And what we need to be asking is not, do you want this free money? But would you be willing to basically take on a second mortgage so that every year in the future, you're not only going to have to pay your own bills, but you're going to have to pay the bills that the federal government has accumulated in the years before, and to give, you know, our children as they come out of high school and start their first job and say, here's your mortgage that you have to start paying off the debts that the past lawmakers have accumulated on your behalf. That's really the question that we need to be asking.
Yes, but you know that they don't think about it that way. You do, because you're aware, and some people do, but most people don't think about it. It's, I mean, I can go back to being a kid and being told by politicians and, oh, you know, we can't get into this kind of debt that we're talking. And yet, you know, on and on and on, then I never see anybody really paying for it, at least. Yeah, I, not to the naked eye, do you see anybody really paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the thing. That's why it's water rolling off a duck's back, I think. We're talking with Rachel Gressler from the Heritage Foundation, and she wrote a piece for the Washington Times about how Congress exacerbated the union pension crisis under the guise of coronavirus relief. You know, Rachel, it's kind of like Social Security. Haven't we been warned for a long time that it's going to go bankrupt? And everybody's that saw Social Security is still getting their checks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
What I mean?
We know these crises are coming, and yet there's no will to do anything about it. But on
there's
this
no fear
union
that
pension.
There's no fear that something's going to happen, at least in our lifetimes. That's the impression I get. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there isn't that fear out there because it just seems like nothing's happened yet, and so we don't know what the limit is. But the problem is that fiscal crises are sudden and severe. They're not this gradual thing that you can slowly step back from and, you know, get rid of the consequences that come. We've seen in places like Greece and Puerto Rico that interest rates on the debt can triple, you know, in a matter of a week.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's too late to enact the reasonable measures. You have to have extreme fiscal austerity, massive tax hikes, massive cuts in services, including, you know, the really necessary ones. And so we're just pushing closer and closer to what will be the brink. And is it going to be that we inflate our way out of debt? Do we default and then have difficulty ever being able to borrow again? You know, we don't know what that future is, but unless policymakers make the decision to actually start confronting that, we're going to have this problem, you know, lingering over us.
You know, before you came on, we were talking about like buying a loaf of bread in South American countries, you know, for I just threw out 100,000 pesos or something like that, where inflation has absolutely taken over, and they're printing money, and there's no faith in full credit on it. And we were talking, well, why is the United States getting away with this? Because we're doing it many times worse in some cases than some of these countries that collapsed. And I just said, well, I guess it's because the purchasers of our debt still believe in the value of the dollar. It's still probably the most credible currency in the world. Now, you're the expert, Rachel. Would you set me straight? Are we really, is there a chance we could turn into, because of inflationary fears, turn into something like a South American country like has happened?
Well, I certainly hope we won't get to that point. And I think that we have a lot of things going for us that will prevent that type of massive inflation. You know, we are the reserve currency, but it will be a very difficult decision for policymakers to make. Do you deflate the value of money and hurt the savers and hurt the value of everything in your economy? Or do you default on the debt in the future? And if they're not willing to make the decisions now to actually cut spending, then those are some tough choices you're going to have to make that will have long-lasting impacts.
Yeah, but we have no chance of cutting. Look who we got. Look who's running the country. No, I'm serious. We have no chance of cutting any spending. What does the Fed have to say?
No, and we had.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask you.
We had $1 trillion. We had $1 trillion deficits planned into the foreseeable future, even prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, and now lawmakers that have come into power are just throwing everything they can into reconciliation packages and forcing it through. And I think we're going to continue to see this massive growth in government until there comes a tipping point and people do lose faith in the ability of our government to repay the debts and they start demanding higher interest rates. And then we have to really take a look and hopefully be able to scale back that spending before it is a massive crisis.
Yeah. It's like an ongoing, non-ending, crazy, wild drinking party. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's feels real good at the moment. It's like we've been carrying this feel-good drinking party for decades. And we don't even worry about waking up the next day with a hangover. But we keep saying logically, well, you will have to wake up the next day and you will have a hangover. But right now we eat, drink, and be merry, you know?
Right, and that's the problem with politics is that they're in office for short periods of time and they hope that when that eat, drink, and be merry is over, they'll be out of office by then and they won't be the ones having to face the consequences.
Exactly. So what do we do? I mean, is there anybody, the only guy that I even listen to when it comes to this is perhaps because of my libertarian instincts is Rand Paul. He's about the only guy that is going to vote against all of these spending packages. Everybody else seems very susceptible to it.
Yeah, it's difficult because there's things that both sides want, and both of them add to the deficit, and oftentimes they're willing to make a trade. You know, we'll cut taxes, we'll increase spending in reverse, and, you get the wrong outcome there. But there are pathways forward. Yes, it will involve tough choices because you can't just erase these massive deficits without making hard decisions. But the Heritage Foundation, we put together a blueprint for balance showing how you can balance the budget within 10 years by making common sense changes, especially to the entitlement programs. But that's what needs to be done. And we need to make that commitment now to signal to those who hold our debt and who we are reliant on to continue having these deficits, to continue loaning to us.
Now, all these people will read what you've said, but they won't act on it. I mean, you're going to send it to them. I know how it works. You're going to send it to them, and you'll put it on your website, and it will all make great sense, and they'll all nod their heads when they get it, if they even read what you've sent them. But they're not going to do anything about it. They're going to keep doing what they're doing now because they think if they stop doing it, they won't get reelected because they've got everybody used to it. We're giving it away. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept of politics that has been around forever. If you give people something that they didn't work for, but you give it to them for free, they will want more of it.
Yep, and that's why we've seen things thrown in this recent COVID package, like paying people a monthly stipend to have children on a temporary basis. But of course, we know that they want to turn that into a permanent expansion in the welfare state, including to people who are incredibly wealthy. You know, the union pension bailout, it's short term, it's a limited amount in this package, but we know that going forward, all the other plans that didn't get bailed out in this version are going to want to bail out in the future. And so they're just setting the stage for continuing to have that reliance on the government instead of individuals.
We're talking with Rachel Gresler. We're going to let her go in just a minute. But I would be remiss, Rachel, if I didn't ask you about this story that Biden and the Democrats are going to be planning the first major federal tax hike since 1993. They talk about raising taxes on businesses and on the wealthy, which is the same old Democratic ploy. Will this work? Will it actually help with the debt? What is your overall thought on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, first, talk about raising taxes when you're trying to come out of a recovery. That is the exact opposite of what you want to do. And we actually saw the economy recovering the strongest, performing the strongest, and we saw wages rising most for lower income people when policymakers did the reverse and they reduced regulations and they reduced taxes on individuals and corporations. That's when the economy was booming prior to COVID-19. And so that's the exact wrong time to be going about raising taxes, of course. But we also know that individuals and businesses tend to be able to make the decisions that are best for them, know how to run their lives and their businesses, instead of having the government take it away. And the reality is that you cannot finance liberals' agenda by taxing the rich. We've done the math. It is mathematically impossible. And what you really need is European-style taxes, including 50% or more rates on the middle class. And so if you want to raise taxes, we have to realistically confront what that means and tell people that the rich don't have enough money out there, even if you confiscate it from them, which means they're actually not going to produce any wealth anymore. But this is massive tax hikes on middle-class workers as well that would be required.
Good. Now, you go tell Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to get up in front of a microphone and say just what you said. We're going to have to tax the middle class because we will not get enough from the rich. So everybody is in agreement, right? You know, I don't think they'll ever say that. Never. Oh, my goodness. Rachel, it's a pleasure. No. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much. Keep your eyes peeled and focused on all of this, and I'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Okay. Rachel Gresler. All right. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, the proprietor of the barber pole is going to talk with us a little bit. We're going to talk about that major tax hike that the Democrats are talking about. And is Biden ever going to hold a press conference?
Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. on a Tuesday. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. And as we've said, we also have a podcast, and you can go to our website and listen to this beautiful show once again, or over and over if you really want to. Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, you know how Lisa Murkowski is always voting kind of with the Democrats on so many things, and she hated Donald Trump, right? Well, the Alaska Republican Party is vowing to recruit a challenger to Murkowski if she runs for re-election next year. They've had enough of her. It's like that Wyoming senator who got sanctioned for going against Donald Trump. It's going to be the same kind of a thing for Lisa Murkowski. They want to censure, and did censure her. And now they say they're going to recruit a primary challenger against the longtime senator. So we've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll with us, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, is she finally going to get her comeuppance on this?
It's about time, Paul.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way. By the way, I couldn't think of her name, but that the Cheney girl out in Wyoming, she got censured by the Wyoming Republican Party. So it's like a similar thing here in Alaska. These people that have, they kind of went off the ranch, didn't they, when they were opposing Trump for certain things?
Paul, it's time to get rid of her. We know that. And, you mm-hmm. know, you've seen what's been going on. I can't believe the tax increase they want to get. Look at the Grammys the other night. I mean, I didn't even watch them. All I did was hear it, and I saw pieces of it.
Yeah.
And look what, they're getting rid of Dr. Seuss, Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
And they got these pigs on television prime time.
I know. And all the words that they were saying, I'm just thinking about, I mean, they were getting down to, even they were going even more extreme than normal.
They're disgusting, Paul.
It's crazy. It really
is. This is what they call hell on earth right now, buddy. Satan's taken over. Pelosi's trying to blame Trump for the problem at the border. Trump had the border problem solved.
Now they
okay.
Now even the Democrats are admitting they got a major crisis there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I know.
They should have left things alone and let the wall stay being built.
Exactly.
But no, they're too stupid, Paul.
I mean, even Democrats realize, and I forget who said this. I think it was Dana Perino on Fox. She said, you know what? You're never going to stop the chaos until you have a border security, which includes completing the wall. Then you can worry about all of these people that want to get into the country. But when you don't have, when you have no rules whatsoever, you're not going to get anything done. You just continue to increase the trouble that you've already got. I want to switch gears real quickly. I found this story to be very interesting. Andrew, you're a good Catholic, I'm sure. The Vatican declared earlier this week that the Catholic Church will not bless same-sex unions. Now, in a way, I'm kind of surprised that they came out with this. I thought we had a rather liberal pope. But the Vatican's Orthodoxy Office issued a formal response to a question about whether Catholic clergy have the authority to bless gay unions. The answer contained in a two-page explanation published in seven languages and approved by Pope Francis was negative. Your thought?
Yeah, well, this pope, you know, he's a communist. The Catholics aren't really happy with him, Paul. Even the Catholic priest I talked to said he needs to go.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I always wondered why Benedict got out of the way. Because his health is fine. He's still alive. He's still living at the Vatican.
Right.
They wanted him out of there because he was old school Catholic. They brought this guy in because he's a communist globalist.
Yeah, a lot of people agree with what you are saying. But in this particular case, Pope Francis has kind of gone back to a conservative look at unions, at marriages.
Well, he had to do that, Paul. Because last week he was in Iran kissing the Muslims' rear end.
Okay.
So he had to do something to make himself look a little better.
Oh, all right.
That's all that is.
Okay. So you don't think of Pope Francis. Do you think that they should figure out a way to retire him? I mean, how do we do this?
Well, they can make him resign like they did Benedict.
Make him resign. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul, let me
Go
ask
ahead.
You a question.
Yes, sir.
What about this the big COVID stimulus? Did you hear what's happening to our farmers?
Tell us about it. I'm sure it's not very good news.
Well, Paul, according to their stimulus and their rules, it's specifically for minority farmers. In other words, a white farmer can't get any help.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Okay, now what do you think about that, Paul?
Well, I don't.
You want to cause division?
That's exactly what it's doing.
You got a guy that's got a 3-acre farm with a mule for a plow, going to get $300,000, and you got one guy that's got 20,000 acres feeding the country, paying for all of his equipment, going to go under. I hope the guy with the 3 acres and his mule work overtime.
No, there's no question about it. This is the same. We know that it's a divide and conquer politics by Democrats. It's always been that. It's racial, gender, economic status, male, female, male, female.
Keep the country divided, Paul.
Keep it divided.
The more they keep us divided, the more they're going to get done what they want to do. It just amazes me that there's 535 of them and 133 million of us, and we're letting this happen.
Yeah.
We should be stamping on them like a herd of buffalo right now.
Yeah, I think they will in the off-year elections. I think it's going to be a huge comeuppance. In the meantime, Biden is still trying to find his way to a press conference. He hasn't done one yet. I think he will. It will be like the Super Bowl when he finally announces he'll do a press conference. And
well, you're going to be waiting, Paul. He's not going to give one.
I know. Well, the thing is that even if he does, they're going to select the questioners. And they'll probably have pre-screened some of the questions.
It'll all be pre-recorded, Paul, and edited.
It'll be pre-recorded.
And edited, believe me. Just like his speech the other night for 20 minutes. You're not telling me that wasn't pre-recorded and edited. Are you kidding me? The guy's a freaking moron. And so is his vice president, and so are all his Democrat friends and a few of the Republicans.
Would you tell us how you really feel? You're right. I mean, if anybody that has half a brain is watching this guy, they must realize something is wrong with him. They must.
Him and the whole party. The whole party, Paul, there's something wrong with these people. And you know what?
No, but all
there's more wrong with the people that voted for these morons.
But all the lighting, all the makeup, all of the, teleprompters in the world cannot hide the fact that when he gets up there and opens his mouth, you immediately know there's something wrong. I mean, it's not funny.
He doesn't have to open his mouth. All you got to do is look at him.
Do you ever notice when he finishes a speech, he doesn't even know which way to turn?
He can walk off the stage. They got to call him like a dog. And you know what makes me laugh? Is these Democrats are still backing him up, and the media is still covering for his rear end. Are you kidding me? They all need to be shot.
You know, Andrew is right. His first one is pre-recorded.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. We've got it, too. We've got it.
Oh, let's listen to it.
And now, from the office of the President of the United States of America.
The vast majority of economists, left, right, and center, from Wall Street to the private economic polling initiatives.
Ed, that's Ed that did that. That's very good.
He got it on the money.
He
got it on the money.
A gold star to Ed. Oh,
there's
goodness.
No question. Yeah.
I got tears in my eyes. This is so funny. This is true, though.
All I can say is, where is Trump when we need him?
I know.
I'd love to cut him loose, right? But they got him hidden, Paul. They got him cut off. You can't hear nothing from him.
So he's being stifled by whom?
The social media, big tech, the news media,
well,
everybody.
Big tech has indeed done that, but he certainly, if he decided he wanted to gather a cluster of reporters, he could certainly get some. You know what he normally would call into, like he used to call into Fox and Friends. He could call into some of those conservative talk shows.
You know, he needs to have a big rally and just put the whole list out of everything that they're doing and let them tear it up.
Yeah.
It'll look like Saturday Night Live.
I think it's coming real quickly. People are going to go, my God, I can't wait to get somebody like Trump back in the White House and get this complete fool out of here.
You know? All of them, not just him.
I know.
We're not talking to it, the whole freaking crew.
No, the whole group. No. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all of the other ones together, you know. You're right.
I think.
March them out.
I think Nancy Pelosi is going to be the only person I know that's going to be refused to let into a nursing home. Believe me.
Yes.
Nobody's going to want her.
I'm sorry, Nancy. We're all full up. You'll have to go somewhere else. Oh, goodness. She'll end up homeless on the streets of her own district in San Francisco. Is that what
she could live like the rest of them.
Oh, boy.
She can give them their ice cream.
There you go.
Well, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm fed up with all these people and what's going on. And you know what? I think a lot of other people are too, Paul.
Very true.
I think it's just a question of when those walls in Washington are going to be torn down by the public.
Yeah. I think people are getting awfully sick of that nonsense, too, with the walls up there in the National Guard when nothing is going on. In the meantime, in, you know, Portland and Seattle and some of these other places, they're tearing things apart. And, of course,
they're burning the federal building.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Insurrection to me.
It is.
But that's okay because they're Democrats and it's in Portland. Wake up, American people. You cannot be this stupid.
Yeah, you're right. My friend, it's always a pleasure to listen to you. Thank you so very much, Andrew, and we will be talking with you again on Friday.
You got it, buddy.
Okay.
God help us.
God help us is right.
Have a good day.
You too. The Master Barber, by the way, he gives a great haircut. Even if you have to listen to him talk about politics, you'll have such a great haircut. Just humor him. Get in the barber chair. He'll do a wonderful job at a wonderful price. Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, another edition of Campus Quackery.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and thank you so very much for being with us. Columbia University, it's an Ivy League school in New York. It's planning to hold 6 additional graduation ceremonies for students according to their race and other aspects of how they identify. Can you imagine that? Having 6 different graduation ceremonies. The New York City's website details graduation ceremonies for Native Asian, Latinx, and black students to take place at Columbia. For first generation and or low income community students, they'll get their own graduation as well. And they also host a lavender graduation for the LGBTIAQ community. I mean, come on. How many of those? Can you imagine if you have a little bit of everything in you? You're gay, you're black, you have some Indian in you.
I thought they were working on bringing the country together.
No. You don't understand how this works. You have to identify all of these different. You're going to have various and diverse communities. We don't want to bring people together into a melting pot. We want to separate them according to their lifestyle, their behavior, their environment, the color of their skin, their gender, how much money they make. Don't you understand? It's crazy. It's so crazy. So, by the way, due to coronavirus restrictions, the ceremonies will take place online. I wonder if they wear mortar boards anymore. Remember those things that you used to wear with tassels on your head, Ed, mortar boards? They don't do that anymore.
I think they do.
Do they still do it? Okay. But you don't have to wear one if it's online, do you? Oh, well.
I'm sure someone will find it racially discriminating or something.
Yes, they will. Okay. Just before we go to our top 10, I had this other story, if I can find it here. It has to do with, we haven't talked about Andrew Cuomo, but for a while his brother, who some people call Fredo, much to his anger, was doing a show on CNN. And he would have his brother Andrew, the governor, on all the time. And so they stopped allowing him to have his governor brother on when his governor brother got into all kinds of trouble. A guest appearance on CNN the other day quickly backfired on the network and its left-wing media pundit as both continued facing a credibility crisis. The Washington Post media critic, a guy by the name of Eric Wemple, who you would think, you know, would stay in the liberal stable, he turned the tables on Sunday morning on their Reliable Sources program to criticize CNN over Chris Cuomo's fawning media coverage of his brother. So here's what Eric Wemple said. I would be remiss if I did not mention CNN's own huge media story with Chris Cuomo. So CNN found themselves embroiled in the governor's parallel scandals after the liberal network repeatedly offered him a platform on his younger brother's CNN show. So, I mean, how the tables have turned. And, it must be embarrassing if you're the brother and you're doing a show, you're the brother of the governor, and you don't want to talk about your brother and all the trouble he's going through. You know, it's like you talk about an elephant in the room.
Yeah, but for a while there, being his brother, he had special privileges of having him on the show.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, come on. He didn't get the show based on his abilities. He got it because he was the brother of the governor.
And Chris has got a problem with anger, too. I mean, he was in that little incident with somebody passing by his house during COVID and, you know.
You are right, sir. And when somebody called him Fredo one time, I don't know who that was. Fredo being the kind of dim-witted older brother in the Corleone family, you know. Anyway, that's the way that goes. All right, Ed. Enough of this nonsense. We have to get down to some important things, like who are the top 10 all-time Grammy Award winners? And I want to see if Ed remembers. He said that he read
I'm struggling right now.
He's struggling to remember. We'll see if maybe he'll remember as we go down the
list. We'll see.
All right, here we go. Number 10. Jay-Z. Jay-Z has 22 Grammy Awards. Wow, that's a lot of Grammy Award winners. He's kind of a rap artist, right?
Yeah, and he's married to somebody very famous and does very well in the same categories, too.
Who is it?
Well, I can't tell you that.
You can, too.
No, I can't, because then it would be your number one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I see what you mean. Okay. Actually, there was a tie. There's another one that was tied with Jay-Z for 22. So roll the drum for this one. And this group I remember, U2.
Mm-hmm.
Not U2, but U2.
Yeah. They've 20, been around well.
22. Yeah, exactly. All right, number nine. Hey, this guy's been around a long time. Chick Corea.
Yeah.
23. Good for him. 23 awards. Number, let's see. We're down to number eight, actually. Beyonce.
Yep.
Beyonce. Is she the one that's married?
She's married to Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly. And she's got 24. I wonder if there's any jealousy in that household. What do you think?
Yeah, they're all raking in the dough.
They don't care, do they? All right. Number five, because... And I say number five because we got three that are tied, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's why we have... The first of the three that are tied is Stevie Wonder. Now, is he still writing and singing?
I don't know.
I haven't heard him recently. He's got 25 Grammys. He certainly doesn't have to write and sing anymore. All right. And another number five. John Williams. Huh? You know John Williams, all those musical... in the movies?
Yep.
He's amazing. He did so many of those movies, like E.T. Mm-hmm. and all those kind of movies. All right, and one more, number five. He was a great pianist, Vladimir Horowitz. You ever hear of him?
Oh, Vlad, yep.
Yeah, Vlad. 25 Grammy Awards for him. All right, number four, Pierre Boulez. Pierre Boulez, you know him?
No.
Well, it's 26 Grammy Awards. We better find out more about him. But mm-hmm. I think he must be a musician, right?
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not there for baking cakes.
Really? He does have a name that sounds like a French chef. You're right. Okay, number three. Alison Krauss.
Yeah.
You know her.
Yeah, she's a good musician.
She's got 27. Holy Toledo. Why do I not know more about her if she's got 27 Grammys? That's great.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of singing does she do?
It's contemporary.
Okay.
Adult contemporary.
Yeah. She a younger lady?
Mid-range.
Mid-range.
Yeah.
Like
high 40.
Okay. All right. Number two. And you knew he would be on here. Quincy Jones.
Quincy
Jones. Great musician. He's got 28. 28 Grammys. He's been around for a long time, too.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he like in his 60s by now? I would guess so, right? Or 70s.
Quincy Jones has got to be older than that.
Even older than that now. All right. Okay, Ed. I want to see if you can remember who's number one. And
I honestly forgot. I think it's Jennifer Lopez. I'm not sure.
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
How would she get that many Grammys? Now, that's a wild guess.
Who is it? I can't remember. I just heard
He was a conductor, a symphony conductor.
Oh, he? Well, yes. Then I heard something else.
No.
Okay.
It's Georg Solti.
Okay, yeah, I
Sir
didn't know
Georg
that.
Solti. He's a great. He led the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, among others. 31 Grammy Awards for Georg Solti.
I think what I heard was Beyonce won for the most women, whatever.
Yes.
I know she was very high up in this.
Yes. Thing. Well, she certainly did well with 24. In fact, of all the people that are on the top 10, there's only two women, and it was Beyonce and Alison Krauss. The rest were men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that tells us anything. Maybe not. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Friday. Please be safe, and always remember, freedom works.